Welcome here to WakeUpCallDT.com and also to your Sports DT app that you got on the Apple Store or on the Google Play Store. Make sure if you don't have the free application for your phone, iPad, iPod, whatever it may be, your tablet, if you don't have the app yet, make sure you go to, for all Apple products, go to the Apple Store and search Sports DT, SportsDT. And if you have any trouble with that, you can go directly to the link com/mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E. And on the Google Play Store, simply search Sports DT, SportsDT. Once again, that is SportsDT. So however you're tuning in, as well as the Wake Up Call with Dan Tatora podcast, that's also free on iTunes. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate you being here. This is the playback of the live interactive show that I had with Adrian Autry, Syracuse men's basketball assistant coach and former player of the 90s. Adrian Autry with a team that attained the Final Four in the 2012-2013 season, and for the 2013-2014 season, had the best start in Syracuse Orange men's basketball history at 25-0. Adrian Autry and I were at Cantina Laredo in Destiny, USA, having this conversation that you're about to listen to. The breaks are condensed, so you'll be able to listen to the show throughout. And so if you were at the event and missed a moment, you'll have it all here. If you were at the event and want to hear it back, you'll have that. And if you were unable to make it, you can now hear back Adrian Autry and I at Cantina Laredo, who I want to thank very much in the Canyon of Destiny, USA, for having us. I also want to thank Destiny, USA and Black Tie Entertainment, who made all of this possible for you to be able to listen to this show, to put on the event. From the microphones to the speakers to the orange lights that surrounded Adrian Autry and I at Cantina Laredo in Syracuse inside of Destiny USA, I want to thank Black Tie Entertainment for their professionalism and how they just make everything so seamless, so wonderful. I want to thank Bill, who owns the company, for all the work he's done, along with Cantina Laredo and Destiny USA. This is the Dan Tatora Broadcast Media Playback of Adrian Autry and I at Cantina Laredo, Syracuse, in Destiny, USA.
These games going as tight as they are, tell me what the background is for you on this one.
I can't give you a definitive answer of why they've been close. One of them is that the teams are good in this league, and every game is a battle. Our guys come out and they prepare. You know, that's what we've been faced since we started the ACC. So it's just been really a great competition, great league, a very competitive league. So each day, each game is going to be a challenge.
I want to ask you about, first and foremost, the game that you had against Duke, the first ever Syracuse-Duke game in the ACC, in the Dome, 91-80 time overtime win. You're a coach on the sideline. You've had the opportunity to play. Was that one of the best games that you've seen from the guys you've coached so far?
Definitely one of the best games that I've been a part of, especially sitting on the sideline since I've been back. It was just a high-level game, and as the game was going on, you realize it was a high-level game. Guys were making plays, pace, making phenomenal plays. Both teams were really just going at each other.
C.J. Fair is a guy that you work with every single day. He makes the decision to come back for his senior season. You and I have talked about this before, and we'll share with everybody here. When you found out he was coming back instead of trying for the NBA, what did it mean to you to have him back after the Final Four?
Well, I mean, clearly, we were very happy, ecstatic, elated. Probably just some jumping jacks. For us, it was the biggest piece that we needed going into this year. And I thought it was a great challenge for him to be able to step into a role that people really appreciate and get a chance to see him, you know, being the face of and being a leader of a team. So, and I think he's done a phenomenal job leading us pretty much the whole year.
when you see his game and how he's developed and what he's become, from when you first got here and started working with him to where he is now, where have you seen the biggest improvement from CJ?
Well, I think his consistency, the fact that he's putting the ball on the floor. Each year, again, he's gotten better since I've been here, but his consistency and being able to make plays off the bounce is his biggest growth. And clearly being able to step out to three-point range and knock shots down on a consistent basis. CJ, again, since he's been here, has improved every year. And again, he's improved this year for us as a leader and as a basketball player.
Before we take our first break here, last thing I want to ask you. Obviously, everybody with the Duke game on the road sees Jim Boeheim go out onto the court. Everyone's got their own opinion about it. You've known Coach for a while. You were coached by him. Now you coach with him. When you saw him run out into the court, what's going through your head and what are you thinking about?
When I turned to my left and I seen Coach on the floor, I was thinking, let's get him back to the bench, but it was a little bit too late by then. But again, it was, you know, you like to see that as a player, you know, that your coach is going to back for you and trying to win, and he's in the battle with you. I think as a player, that was something that, you know, I think it caught the guys a little bit by surprise. But, you know, something that happens, and I think that, you know, we've moved on from that and channel our energy into these next couple of games that we have.
That's Adrian Autry, Syracuse men's basketball assistant coach. The team is 26-2. They're on the road in the biggest game they're having at this point in the season against Virginia. And we will be back live here at Cantina Laredo, Destiny USA. Thank you all for tuning in. We're back here at Cantina Laredo in Destiny USA's Canyon with Adrian Autry of the 26-2 Syracuse Orange. If you want an autograph from Adrian, make sure you stop into Cantina Laredo. Sit down, get a margarita, get something to eat, and hang out with us for a little while here. Adrian's liking this guacamole right now. What do you think about it so far, Adrian?
Guacamole is great. It's hot, but it's great.
Now, have you ever had anything like this?
A couple times, but this was really good right here, though. This is the homemade, made it right in your face, fresh, love it.
So, Cantina Laredo here with Adrian Autry. We got a big game coming up against Virginia on the road, and depending on what Virginia does tonight, you could take over first place again. What do you know about Virginia that these Syracuse fans in Cantina and around Destiny USA need to know?
Well, first of all, they've won 11 straight games. They haven't lost since January against Duke. Of course, they really had a chance to win. Playing outstanding basketball. It's a team made up of five guys that play together, share the ball. And the most important thing I forgot to say is that they're the best defensive team in the country, ranking percentage-wise.
Now, you call them the best defensive team in the country, ranking percentage-wise. What makes you think of them as the best defense?
First of all, the numbers say that holding teams to 55 points per game. And I've had a chance to watch a lot of them on tape the last couple of weeks, and they are pretty good, very sound defensive team.
Now, you're a guy who watches a lot of film, and when you're breaking down this film and you're looking at a team like Virginia, what are you rewinding and going back and watching with them? What's something that you really had to key in on for Virginia coming up?
Well, I think when you watch teams and you prepare for teams, you try to get a feel for how they will guard and defend some of your offensive movements and see where you may be able to take advantage of their slides, or how they play defense. So that was the main thing, of just seeing how they guard certain things that we like to run by. And really study their patterns and their rotations and seeing who's a good defender, who maybe can attack. You know, you're just watching the whole thing over.
I want to talk about one of the guys that you brought in to Syracuse, Jeremy Grant. Obviously, he's had some struggling, had a little back injury, kept him out for one of these games recently in the second half. Can Syracuse fans expect to see Jeremy soon?
Jeremy will be ready to go on Saturday.
What has he brought to this team in your mind? I mean, Jeremy last season had some good moments. The more he was asked to play, the better he played. But when a James Sutherland comes back in, obviously he had to give up some of those minutes. Now he's one of the guys that's out there the majority of the time. What has he shown you with you being his position coach?
Well, one, on the defensive side of basketball, he can make game-changing plays, blocks. He's our best rebounder. He allows us to get extra possessions on the offensive end. But he's one of the top offensive rebounders in our league, averaging close to 3 a game. So that always helps. From a defensive standpoint, he just really can change the game without scoring. And then on the offensive end, he's a tough matchup. He can attack the basket, he gets to the rim. He's just a lively body. He's always moving. So he forces a lot of injuries for other teams.
His jump shot is something he's been working on, something that, you know, I think still to this point a lot of defense has kind of challenged him, so let's see if he can make it. How proud have you been in kind of the evolution of the Jeremy Grant jump shot?
Well, again, he's worked very hard on that from day one. He's improved. He's made tremendous strides from the time that he's stuck on campus until now. And he works at it. The one thing about Jeremy is he sometimes always makes the shot when you need it. He's one of those guys. He just makes, you know, big plays when you need it.
Toward the end of the games, in the beginning of the season, Syracuse free throws are going down. Tyler Ennis taking care of business, Jeremy Grant taking care of business, Rakeem at times taking care. Now some 0-for-2, some 1-for-2. How vital are those free throws to you as games progress? Because, you know, some people talk about if you miss free throws like a Memphis team a few years back, it doesn't matter, you're still going to win. In the case of a lot of games you played that have been so close, they've been very important and the decider. How vital are free throws to you, and how much do you feel Syracuse really works on that in practice?
Well, we work on free throw shooting a lot. Like you said earlier, when you look at the last 5 or 6 weeks of the game, some of the stats that we have been pretty amazing, and free throw shooting is one of them. You get a chance to get to the free throw line and make some, make some free shots and get your offense kind of going. That helps out a lot sometimes. But again, once you're at the free throw line, that means you're attacking, you're being aggressive, you're getting help with the foul trouble, and to be able to cash in on those, that really helps out a lot.
I'm going to shameless plug you a little bit. Here with Adrian Autry at Cantina Laredo and Destiny USA. Come down, have a margarita, and sit down and get something to eat. Guacamole is what Adrian is liking over here. But like I was saying, shameless plug for you since you don't do it for yourself. For all the Syracuse fans listening right now, I want you to give a round of applause to Adrian Autry because he brought you Tyler Evans. That's what happened. He brought him here. So, go into the story of getting Tyler Ennis and how difficult was it or how easy was it when you're selling Syracuse?
Well, it's always difficult because it's a lot of good schools out there, but in regards to Tyler Ennis, you know, from Canada, so he was very familiar with Syracuse basketball, the Syracuse tradition, and it was one of his favorite schools growing up, one of his dream schools, and he broke it down. When we started recruiting him, we kind of had that foot in the door to say, I think the way we recruited him and the persistence, and I think the opportunity and what Syracuse basketball stood for, he just loved it. He loved it.
Jaren McNamara obviously is a guy working with Tyler in practice. What have you seen from Jerry that has helped out Tyler from when you were watching him and scouting him and everything that you did? What has Jerry done to make Tyler a better player?
I think Jerry has done a great job of helping him read situations, different situations. When we use the ball screen, being able to look for different things, I think Jerry has given him a lot of tutoring and just kind of being a general, being able to think to everybody on the court, being able to communicate back and forth with Coach Bacon. A lot of times that's a big adjustment for freshman point guard, being able to think for themselves but also keep the team in mind and being able to communicate with the head coach.
Lastly, before we take a break here at Cantina Laredo with Adrian Autry, Syracuse men's basketball assistant coach of the 26-2 team. Tyler Ennis, have you seen a better freshman point guard?
I'm going to be a little biased with this answer, but I haven't. I just know what he's done for us. He's been a big part of our success and hoping he'll continue to be a big part of what we do. But I could be a little bit biased, but I have not seen a freshman point guard better than Tyler Edwards this year.
That coming from Adrian Autry, not a better freshman point guard than Tyler Ennis. Jabari Parker, everybody else out there, besides Andrew Wiggins that they've been talking about, better start talking about Tyler a little bit more.
No, that's okay. We like it that way.
We'll be back here at Cantina Laredo. Adrian Autry, Syracuse men's basketball assistant coach, played with the team in the 90s and is trying to get the team back to the Final Four. We'll be back here from Cantina Laredo in Syracuse in Destiny, USA. Going to Greensboro as opposed to going to the mecca of basketball, Madison Square Garden, what is it going to be like for you to not take that trip and be around Madison Square Garden, you know, Times Square, Grand Central, and now you're down in Greensboro?
Well, first of all, prior to coming to Syracuse, I was at Virginia Tech, so I've been to Greensboro. I was really thoroughly excited when I got a chance to go back to the Garden and play in the Big East the last couple of years. So, you know, you miss that, especially when it's something that's new. So it'll be a different feeling, but I know for the team and for the guys, once you start playing, it doesn't matter what arena you're in, you're playing basketball. So, you know, it'll take some adjusting, but, you know, hopefully we'll have a good showing. We'll have a good following, and we'll try to go there and play the best that we can.
The ACC, you know, people kind of balked at the fact that Syracuse will lose to Boston College. You and I have talked about the fact that record doesn't show anything when it comes to the ACC. Looking at the teams that you have in the ACC compared to what you knew from the Big East, is this now the most difficult conference to play basketball in for anyone in Division I men's on the men's side?
Well, I think when you talk about the top conferences, it's always difficult, whether it's the Big East, ACC, SEC, Pac-12, whatever you have. When you have those conferences, all these teams are comparable, are all good, and you can be beat on any given night. Again, records don't mean anything when you start to play, you know, in conference. And again, when you talk about the Boston College thing, you know, again, you talk about how, you know, Steve Donahue had coached at Cornell, so he played against him, you know, a couple of times, so he has to put it out with us. And I think sometimes that does help, but again, we're not taking anything away from Boston College. That was a good thing. They played a great game, they made shots, and we didn't. But when you're playing these conferences, it's always going to be tough.
Let's talk about the 2-3 zone. Some people see it as strictly a 2-3 zone, and that's all it is. There's no nuances. There's no changes. Everyone wants to know, why don't you go to man? Why don't you go to a 3-2? You and I both know that Boeheim does have 3-2 elements. He has man-to-man elements in this 2-3 zone, depending on who you're playing. And go into that a little bit, what it's like to be in a Syracuse 2-3 zone that's not your typical 2-3 zone.
Well, I mean, first of all, when you play against us, you play against a 2-3 zone, I think a lot of times people don't understand how active our zone is, how long our guys are, how aggressive we play the 2-3 zone. So I think it stalls people a lot. And the reason why being Bama has been so successful is that you have every element of any good defense. You have to be able to move, you have to be able to help, you have to be able to contest shots, and then you have to ultimately be able to rebound the basketball and go. I mean, we're pretty good at all those things, so that's what makes our defense really effective. No different than any good man-to-man.
When you look at the 2-3 zone, when you're playing against a team like BC and there's 7 3-pointers in the second half, when you're in a game like that, who do you really put it on? Because obviously you hone in on the forwards. When those shots are coming at the elbow, when they're coming in the corner, is that really your time during a timeout to grab CJ, to grab Jeremy, and say, you know, it's up to you guys to get out there and be long and help out the guards in those situations? I mean, you kind of take those upon yourself when the threes are coming from that area in between the guard and forward?
No, coach does. No, again, you make adjustments during any game, and you realize and try to get a feel for what the team is, how the team is trying to attack. And so me as a coach, I try to give them an idea of, hey, listen, this is what's happening, this is what they're trying to do. But again, sometimes players are just kind of out there, they're not overthinking, they're kind of just reacting. So you want to try to give them a couple of ideas and tips of how to read certain situations and understand, you know, what they're trying to get accomplished, and be aware of that.
The most dangerous thing for a 2-3 zone, in your mind, and I'll tell you what I see, is in the high post. That's one of those areas that I get concerned about, because if you're playing a team like a Michigan last season and you can dump it inside to the high post, you got a guy that can shoot a jump shot, drive to the basket, but kick it out as well. Is the high post, is that that huge problem area for you, or do you see another area that is more of a focus when it comes to the 2-3 zone in general? Is the high post the thing that can beat it the fastest?
The high post is always an area of concern. It's just like getting into the middle of the lane and getting to the middle of anything. When you get into the middle of a defense, you have options. You can go right, you can go left, you can go back, you can go forward. So it's always a concern about it. But I wouldn't say that just getting the ball into the high post is a steady diet for doing that to beat us. I think you have to be able to make plays, whether you have in the high post, short corner, or even in the top. The bottom line is you have to be able to make plays against any good defense.
From everything you saw from this team last season, obviously you don't have a couple guys this season. You don't have James Sutherland. You don't have Michael Carter-Williams. Those guys are gone. But what you do have, can you see this team, based on their talent, based on their mentality, based on how they've handled their losses in this season, can you see this team getting back to a Final Four type atmosphere and being in a big game situation like they were last year, even though some of the positions have all been altered and some of the leaders have changed?
Well, I think with the way they've played so far this year, I think we have a chance. Just as good a chance as anybody else in the country to get back to the Final Four. But a lot of things have to happen in between that. Some tough road ahead of us these last couple of games, ACC tournament, and getting to the tournament. So again, do we have the players and the ability to do it? I think we have just as good chances of holding the team in this country.
You and I off the air were talking about the Tyler Ennis shot heard around the world. That last second shot against Pittsburgh, the four-pointer is what I'm calling it. Tyler said to you he had an out-of-body experience. What was going through your mind, and what were you doing when that shot went up? And you know, he took four dribbles, that was all, and then launched it. What's Adrian Autry doing on the sidelines?
Well, once we got the ball in, and I see he has some momentum, I knew we would get a shot out. I just didn't know what kind of shot. He pulled up, he shot it kind of up, like a good thing. Okay, once it left his hand, I looked at him, I think this has a chance. I just had that look. And once the ball went through, everybody just erupted, I erupted. I was just happy that we got a chance to end a game like that. I've been a part of too many games like that, so it's always exciting to end a game, especially on the road, in a game like that.
Not only on the road against anybody, but it's against Pittsburgh. It's a very difficult place to play up against Jamie Dixon and all the history that Boeheim has had with him. When you win at Pittsburgh, you can say this because we're not in a post game, we're not in the dome right now, so you and I can talk about this at Cantina. Does it feel better when you take down Pittsburgh?
I think Pittsburgh has always been tough for us to play, especially since Jamie Dixon. It's always good to get a victory. But I think it felt really good to get a victory on the road when almost everybody kind of counted you out and said you had no shot and had no chance to win. So I thought I was really excited for the guys and even for just for the team that we were able to stick with it. Tough physical game, tough environment, and to have a chance to win at the end and win it was really exciting.
Before we break here, Adrian, I want to take a look at what we're seeing around us. Now, we're going to get off the basketball court. Destiny USA wasn't here forever. Wasn't here when I was growing up. Wasn't here when you were playing. Cantina's here. The whole Destiny USA experience is here. What's it been like for you? I mean, you have kids, and obviously you like to take your family out. You like to do different things. What's it been like for you as a father and as someone in the community to see something like this brought to Syracuse?
I'll tell you what, it's amazing to see the Syracuse community grow and to have something like this in here. It gives people a chance to get out. Again, they have different venues here to be able to spend some family time in a place when it's kind of cold outside. So it's good to be able to get out, walk around, stretch. That's some of the little kids experience some energy, but the place is amazing, it's fabulous. And sometimes people don't really understand, but this helps the college kids, and it helps our recruiting young kids, when guys have to be able to go out and do something else and not just stay on campus.
That's Adrian Autry here at Cantina Laredo in Syracuse, inside Destiny USA. And Adrian and I will be back in just a little bit here. Appreciate all the time that he's been given. Make sure you come down to Cantina Laredo. And we have $10 gift cards for you down here. And also Adrian signing autographs as Syracuse prepares for two more games on the road, one more at home in the Dome against Georgia Tech. And all three teams Syracuse has not faced yet this season. I'm talking to Adrian in just a few minutes here on Dan Zatora, and we're here at Cantina Laredo. Stop by, say hi to Adrian, and shake the hand of a man that knows what it's like to win a few games in the NCAA. Appreciate it. Stop over to Cantina to meet Adrian Autry. This is a rare appearance for Adrian, coming out into the community and being here with us at Cantina. 26-2 Syracuse Orange. Virginia right now is going to make this game interesting because they are ahead of Miami currently. Syracuse has them on Saturday and then back at the Dome against Georgia Tech. Adrian Autry here with me, responsible for bringing you Jeremy Grant and Tyler Ennis, and is the man who has helped C.J. Fair to grow throughout his time in Syracuse. And Adrian, to start things off, back on here with Wake Up Call with Dan Zatora from Cantina Laredo. When you look at the competition that you've had this season in the ACC, is it what you expected? Are these slow you down type of offenses kind of more than you expected? What's the season been like for you from all the film you watch and all the research and scouting you do? Has it lived up to what you thought? Has it been even more competitive? What have you taken away from it?
I think it lived up to what I thought. I knew, again, me being coming from the ACC prior to Syracuse, I knew how good the teams were coming into this league. So the expectations definitely met my expectations. The one thing I will say is everybody kept talking about how ACC is a finesse league and it gets up and down. Well, I haven't seen finesse all up and down. Every game that we've played so far has been a very physical, slow-paced, tough, grinded-out type of game.
When you see these teams that have slowed you down, the Miamis that have been out there, you know, what North Carolina tried to do, I think, at times, if you see from a Boston College, all these teams that have tried to slow the pace of the game have been somewhat successful in doing so and making it these 40 games, high 40s, mid-50s, not your typical Syracuse game. What do you take away from those games? I mean, Syracuse has won the majority of them, but it's not really Syracuse's MO to be in a 49-44, a 58-55 game. What have you learned the most, and what have the guys learned the most from having the opposite of finesse and having this really grinded out type of defense that they're playing up against, an offense that they have as well?
Well, I think they've learned the value of possessions, the value of taking care of basketball, and we've been really good at that, keeping our turnovers down and really taking good shots, because you know it's not going to be a lot of shots. So getting a good shot and valuing basketball is the biggest thing that these guys have learned.
One of the guys that we haven't talked about in the forward position, a couple of these guys, Tyler Roberson, B.J. Johnson. Every single year, it always comes up, why doesn't Boeheim go deeper? Why isn't he playing these guys? And why isn't he going farther than 6, 7, or 8? So, That argument, obviously, has been talked about a bunch of times. Boeheim's going to play, we think so, ready. B.J. Johnson, Tyler Wilkerson, how ready are they, in your mind, if Jeremy goes down, if C.J. goes down, if you have to go to depth and foul trouble? What can you say to us about B.J. Johnson and Tyler Wilkerson?
Well, first we'll start with Tyler Wilkerson. Tyler Wilkerson, to answer that question, if you see him in spots and spurts, he's really did a good job. Being in those situations. Both of these kids come to practice every day and work extremely hard. Given the opportunity, or they haven't been in that opportunity, I think that they would be up for a challenge. I know they would be up for a challenge. Now, they make a couple of mistakes here and there, pretty much, because it's nothing that can replicate game experiences and game speed. But saying that, everybody on our team, practices hard, continues to get better. Some people are at different levels of where they need to be at. And it's not frowned upon, because it's tough for them to get into the game now, because they are playing behind some really arguably all conference, one of the best front courts in college basketball. So that's pretty hard to crack that.
I want to talk about that front court. We talked about CJ a little bit, we talked about Jeremy a little bit, and obviously Rock is in the middle helping you out, and Mike obviously focusing in on Rock and Bai, and even Chino, who we're not seeing this season, and Daywan when he was healthy. When you look at the front court of Syracuse, how do you describe them? If you had to kind of give a mission statement from what you take away from your front court, what is the mission statement? How do you describe Syracuse's front court?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is athletic, long, aggressive, attacking on an offensive end. Guys that can get out and run, athletes, aggressive attacking athletes that can make plays on both ends of the floor, defense and offense, because our guys are just as good on the defensive end, which they don't get a lot of credit for, as well as the offensive end.
Defensively, on the glass, Jeremy Grant, CJ Fair, are they where you want them to be right now? I know we talked about offensively for Jeremy and averaging about 3 offensive rebounds a game. On the defensive side, there has been the question before when Chris Joseph was out there, not enough rebounds defensively, not enough offense and whatnot. When you look on the defensive side with CJ Fair and Jeremy Grant, are they doing what you ask of them? Are they kind of meeting your expectations at this point?
Well, we set the bar kind of high. But I think they're doing a good job, but I think that they can do a better job. Me personally, I always push my guys to strive to do a little bit better. But in the overall big scheme of things, they're doing very good.
You're not playing Georgetown this season. Obviously, last season, 35,012, loss comes there, loss comes on the road. You get them in the last game that you play against them in that overtime game in the Big East tournament. When you look at Syracuse, where they are now, and all these new rivalries that are starting, you know Georgetown all too well. So do all the guys that played with you and all the way up to last season. Do you miss Georgetown? Maybe not the word of you, but I don't think anybody from Syracuse misses Georgetown, but is that rivalry something that you want to come back and want to be part of a non-conference schedule?
Me personally, yes. I would love to see Georgetown back on the schedule. It's something that this program, not saying built for me, but it's been a part of Syracuse basketball for so long. Once the game started, those were marquee matchups. It's been great games. People raised their kids on Georgetown and Syracuse rivalry. So I love that history. I love that. And that was what I looked forward to when I was a player years ago. So I would love to see Georgetown back on schedule.
I want to go back to when you were a player, because I know you as a coach now, I know you're on the sideline dressed in a suit and tie, but As a player, going back to your time, what are some of the fondest memories that you had? I mean, you played with Lawrence Bowen, you played with John Wallace, two big names that people recognize as well as yours. What are some of the memories that you had playing for Syracuse in the 90s?
Well, I think the first thing is the teammates, the coaches, the people that were close to you at that time. But the games, you know, there was always certain games that stick out. I remember I was playing Kentucky, they came in, Holly Rank team. I was in senior year. I remember when we played Georgetown my first year. And at that time, we had the Big East record crowd setting record then. And to see that record get broken almost every year now, it's it's awesome. But, you remember the good times, your teammates, certain games, the camaraderie between the players, the coaches, the travel, playing against the other teams. So all the thoughts.
Is there anything that you wish would have been different when you were playing? I know that you've said to me off the air as a joke that you were the curse because you were the year before Syracuse went to the championship game and lost to Kentucky. Is that kind of, I mean, do you wish that you were on that team? Do you ever look back and think, if I had one more year with those guys, we would have beaten Kentucky? Or is there another moment that kind of sticks out to you?
No, I have no regrets. Again, I enjoy every year that I played for Syracuse. I enjoy our teams. I was a big part of, you know, our team, so I wouldn't trade that or change that for anything. I wish we could have gone a little bit further, but again, I was very proud. I felt like I was a part of the championship team regardless. I mean, a part of that team going to the championship regardless. So, again, as the guys that I played with, I was happy and thrilled for them and thrilled for the coach. I wish we could have pulled it out, but again, we pulled it out a couple of years ago.
Adrian Autry here at Cantina Laredo right here in Syracuse in Destiny, USA. Come down and get $5 house margaritas as well as half off all the line here for Wednesday nights. And we also have $10 off that you can get as well. Adrian Autry signing autographs as we continue to talk about Syracuse. I want to get away from basketball for a second. You have four kids. You have a 19-year-old daughter, all the way down to the single digits for your children. So, yeah, you run the gamut, kind of. You got two boys, two girls. What's it like being a dad? And you got to devote so much time to Syracuse. You're a father to all these players as well. What's it like being a dad and then going home and having to be a dad again to your actual biological children?
I wouldn't say I was a dad to these guys, more of a mentor. Okay. Going home to be a dad, that's the hard part. but my kids are great. They are a part of, you know, Syracuse, the community. They love it here. They love it. They live and die every game. They get the chance to go and be fans. And they know some of the guys. So it's always good to watch them and how they talk about the guys and how they look forward to going to the games. So it's exciting. It's fun. Since they've been here, they have not been accustomed to losing. So whenever we lose, especially my youngest son, we have to bring out, like, defibrillators and stuff like that to pick them up, to get them revived, so to say.
What do they say to Dad after you lose to BC, after you lose to Duke? When you walk in the door and your kids are there waiting for you, what do they say?
Probably the same thing that everybody else is saying. What happened? How did you lose? I can't believe that. The referee was terrible. So just the normal stuff. My oldest son, he'll say that happened, but my youngest son, again, he takes those losses very hard.
Now you just brought up refs. And I got to do this. I respect referees. I do. I would never. You know what? Let me tell you like this. The 30,000 plus fans that show up at the Dome, I don't think one of them would trade places with a ref ever.
I know I would. Tough job. I try to be a referee in the summertime a couple of games years ago. And after the second game, I hung my whistle up.
So we have these referees, and you're at Duke. And there is obviously the block charge. I think it's one of the most difficult calls to make in college basketball, in basketball in any respect. CJ looks like he goes straight up. Now, the new NCAA rule is that the referees have to watch when a player takes off. The old rule was see if the defender is set, see if they're ready. Some refs are still looking at it that way because they feel it's a better way to do it. What did you see from CJ Fair? Because I'm going to tell you my angle as an impartial sportscaster looked like CJ was going straight up, and it didn't look like there was any leaning. Maybe the guy's not set all the way. What did you see?
Well, I didn't have the best view because I was a couple players in front of me. But again, I just thought that, you know, with the new rule, when the ball starts to go up, no matter what, if the defender is moving, it's an automatic block.
Yeah.
So again, I didn't have the best night block. Again, I thought it was a tough call.
Yeah.
It didn't look, when you watch it over on the replay, you can kind of go both ways with it.
Yeah.
But it was an unbelievable play. It's a play that's getting talked about to this day. But that's the thing. When you start making rule changes, you're going to have these type of plays to discuss and argue, and this will be a point of emphasis. So, again, it's part of basketball. It's a part of sports. In every sport, you have some type of controversy. There's a judgment call, who made the call, and so be it.
Now, after the game in the post-game press conference, Jim sung the praises of the referees, and I think it's safe to say in this environment that you, whether you agree with the refs or not, you always sing their praises because one bad thing and it's a fine.
Yeah, you gotta be careful of that, or you know you got a couple more games to play too.
So when, let's go into the Maryland game then. After Duke happens and Boeheim comes out, everybody can read the lips of Jim Boeheim. I won't say what he said, but you can read his lips. He gets kicked out of the game. You go to Maryland 2 days later. How do you feel the refs called the game 2 days later? Because when there are those outbursts and you see a guy get ejected from a game, sometimes the refs give him a little bit shorter of a leash. Did you feel like that was the case, or do you feel like Boeheim was treated exactly the same as Maryland?
I think we were. I think it was a couple. As a coach, you always think you can get more calls or a couple bad calls here and there, but I think when you continually be around it, you understand that that's going to be part of the game. The Maryland game, for me personally, I wasn't really concerned from a referee. I was really more concerned about how we were playing and what we were doing. Again, on the road, you know, you're going to get some tough breaks, some tough missed calls or tough calls against you. That kind of goes with the, you know, kind of goes hand in hand when you're on the road. So again, I didn't sit there and go, oh, this is just awful. I didn't have that feeling.
Now, I'm going to put you in a post-game situation. Boeheim decided he was going to make a joke about everything, probably had his funniest press conference that he's had in 38 years. If I put you on the stand after that game, and CJ's your guy, and I said, all right, Adrian, I'm going to turn on this camera for 10 minutes, and everybody's going to ask you about that play. How do you handle the situation? Do you start joking around and messing around with it? Are you one of those guys that gives two-word answers and you just want to leave the media? How do you handle that?
Well, first of all, I definitely wouldn't have been joking like how, you know, the way Coach did it. He was very smart and witty. Probably for me, it would have been tough. I would have probably chose to go the political way and say, hey, you know what, judgment call, tough call, kind of just to get out of there. Probably I would have said what I needed to say to get out of there. I wouldn't have wanted that to continue to linger on, which it was going to happen regardless, but I would try to focus on to answer the question that I did.
Assistant coach of the Syracuse Orange, Adrian Autry, here at Cantina Laredo. Make sure you get here. We're here for just a little while longer. Free autographs from Adrian, as well as pictures and $10 gift cards, as well as house specials on margaritas and wine at Cantina Laredo. Next thing, Adrian, it has nothing to do with Syracuse, but I feel like we have to talk about this because the team was in the Final Four, and they were a Cinderella story, and now they're still undefeated. They're 30-0, Wichita State. They're ranked number 2 in the country. They're not ranked number 1. Everybody says it's because they play Northern Iowa. It's because they play Evansville. They're not playing Duke. They're not playing Kansas. They're not playing Kentucky. They're not playing Syracuse. Wichita State, from an impartial perspective, outside looking in, do they deserve to be number 1 as the only undefeated Division I team?
I think yes. No matter what, it's very difficult to win every game on the schedule, what they've done so far, no matter what conference you're in. Because, again, with the conferences, the competition may change, but it's still hard and difficult to play on the road. To come and bring it and be consistent and be able to figure out a way to beat everyone on the schedule up until this point. I think that deserves credit.
If you were to play Wichita State right now, the way that they're playing, and you know your Syracuse team, you know what they're capable of, how do you feel Syracuse would match up against Wichita State, and what do you think they do well?
I haven't had a chance to really watch Wichita State play a lot this year. I just probably seen them some highlights. I remember them from last year when we were in the Final Four. They were there. We watched them before. And I know some of the players that are still that came back. Kaylee Anthony Early, long athletic guy that can, you know, look like he can shoot the ball. I'm not sure, but that's what he looked like. And Kevon Baker was tough. Point guard was really smart, kind of pushing that. Tyler and the smallest they have on the front of the Tyler. Smart type of guard, but it's hard because I haven't really had a chance to watch them really play and see, you know, and kind of compare what we do against what they do.
How well has the Syracuse team played with so much youth? You see all the freshmen that have come on. You see the fact that you have 2 seniors in C.J. Fair and Baikita. Everybody else kind of learning their way, learning their ropes. Jeremy Grant, second year. Trevor, second year. 26-2. Is this where you saw this team, or have they pleasantly surprised you that they've been able to grow and play as a team and mold together a lot faster than maybe you expected?
More of the latter. When you come into a season, you really don't have, you know, you have kind of an idea, but you just never know how it's going to work out. But if you ask me before the season, that we would be 26-2 with 3 games left, I probably would have been a little surprised. A little surprised just because of the youth, because of different people stepping into different roles, again, not a lot of experience, and going into the ACC, which was, you know, one of the best conferences in college basketball. And then with our preseason schedule, which was pretty difficult and challenging, you know, playing the likes of the Baylor, the Minnesota's, those to Villanova, St. John's on the road. So when you look at it from that standpoint, you know, they really probably exceeded what anybody would have expected those teams with all their experience.
Playing in Canada, once every 5 years it opens up that you can do something like this. You're supposed to maybe go to Italy, and I'm going to Canada instead. So backyard for Tyler Ennis. You win all the games out in Canada. How much did that help Syracuse get to where they are right now as one of the best teams in the country?
I think it helped tremendously that we got a chance to get ahead. And when we came back to Canada, we were able to work with some game footage under our belt, and the guys got a chance to see what they need to do in game situations. And we got a chance to evaluate Tyler and the game situation before it was a real game. So I think it helped us a lot. It gave us an advantage in the fact that, you know, those guys got a chance to get 4 games and the bonding aspect of the game. And we played 2 tough teams, but, you know, 2 games were pretty easy, but we had 2 tough challenges, and that was good.
here for a few more minutes with Adrian Autry, signing autographs, taking pictures, Canteen Laredo, Destiny USA, and Wake Up Call with Dan Totoro, brought to you by Dance Corps Broadcast Media and Canteen Laredo. By Keto, is he the most underrated center in the country right now? Because if I hear one more time that Baikita has bad hands, actually, yeah, I don't know if you know this, during the game, because I was here on the sideline, so during the game on Facebook and Twitter for my company, I have this series, and it's the if Baikita had bad hands, then why, and then I fill in the blank. Why did he get that rebound? Why did he have 10 points? Why did he just put that back? Why did he get it done? So, because I'm sick and tired of hearing about Baikita not being a good player. Let everybody know here in Destiny USA, what do you think of Baikita? You're a coach. You know him well. What should they know about Baikita?
Well, if you look at what we've done the last 3 years, if you don't have Baikita, you don't have that type of success. He's the guy that does everything that nobody else wants to do. He comes through. Remember, we talk about Keita not being able to shoot. People forget that Georgetown game in the Garden last year, right?
Yes.
7-for-7, 7-for-8 from the free throw line.
He was the reason why they got to overtime.
No doubt.
Yeah,
so again, Keita is by far the most underrated center in the country. And for us, we don't even have the season that we're having right now without Keita.
B.J. Johnson, it looks like he's improving. Now, I've got to watch him in practice, and you're training him in practice, and people don't see what we see. And in the last practice that I was at, B.J. Johnson, one of the drills that you were doing was, I think, 7-for-7 or 8-for-8 on his jump shooting, and that was one of the biggest problems lately was jump shooting. Obviously, he can put on some muscle. B.J. is on the skinnier side, but his jump shot is there. And he looks like he's getting comfortable in practice. It looks like he's growing in practice. If you had to throw him to the Wolves in the NCAA tournament, what do people need to know about BJ? Do you think he could kind of handle the atmosphere because he hasn't had a lot of game experience?
I think BJ is a very confident player, so I'm pretty much sure. He knows in his mind he can handle it. Again, we have time, and the fact of the matter is that if he's not playing, it's not because he can't play. We have some guys that, you know, that are a little more experienced. They know kind of the system. And again, it's a tough system. You know, it's not an easy system to learn. You have to figure it out. And when you're a freshman, you come in, you kind of have that one-track mind just thinking on offensive end. But defensively, you know, people always talk about our offense, but defensively, you know, we're one of the best teams every year defensively. And that's a big part of what we do. And you know, that's a big part of our success is being able to stop people and create scoring opportunities with our defense. So, but BJ, the one thing I would tell you about BJ, when he gets his chance, he's going to be ready. Trust me. He is a big part of what we're going for.
Last thing that I have is, oh, we have some autographs here, so we're going to take another break. We'll have Adrian say goodbye, but we're going to welcome you in and take some more autographs here at Canteen Laredo at Destiny USA with Adrian Autry, and we'll be back. You know, you're saying jumper. Now, you got some height on me, so you're not going to take me to the basket. You're going to try and beat me on the jump shot.
I'm old now, so I rely on my jump shot a lot. But if I have to go to the basket, it's going to be a long game.
Now, I'm a scrappy guy. I'm 5'8". I've always played guard. I like shooting three, and I can make some free throws if you foul me if need be. So, what are you most afraid of going up against a three-point shooter? Can you handle it?
I can handle three-point shots. The problem is, can you handle me poking you in your stomach and saying, no, that's not a foul when you miss?
Well, it depends on what ref we have, depending on what Syracuse game.
Referee? We got referee for the one-on-one?
It's just going to be you and me?
Me and you.
No foul, no foul?
All right. Well, we play.
Well, I'm telling you, we're going to make it happen. I've known you for a couple years, and every time I want to play, you always say no because I think you're a little bit scared.
Not scared.
Concerned?
Concerned a little bit. You look a little tough.
There you go, 26-2 at Syracuse, three games to go. Adrian Autry, phenomenal to have him out here. Cantina Laredo, Destiny USA. I want to thank Destiny USA. I want to thank Cantina Laredo. I want to thank the community. And I want to thank, first and foremost, above all things, this man right here, Adrian Autry. And you heard it straight from Adrian. He will play me one-on-one, and we will be back here to talk about it. Thank you, Adrian.
In the near future.